Hello. I hope you brought cheese.
It's time to retire to the drawing room.
Look, if you ask me, I cannot wait for the day when I go to the cinema. And there's a fabulous film playing, and oh, how exciting, I can read tweets from all my fellow filmgoers scrolling across the bottom of the screen. What a great idea, maybe. It is a thing that's happening in Japan, in Beijing, Shanghai as well, in China. So it is just a matter of time. Yeah. Steve Gaunson and Tessa Dwyer are all across these news trends in the cinema experience. They're our drawing room guests. Steve and Tessa, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
I must admit to being feeling slightly ambivalent about the bullet screen concept. It's bad enough in Q&A, let alone actual movies, Steve. Do we have to have this?
Well, we don't have to have it, but if you think about it, the cinema, like as a place, is a very conservative institution.
Pretty unchanged for 100 and something years.
That's right. And every time somebody suggests a change, there's a big brouhaha about the whole thing. So what sort of bullet screens is suggesting is let's actually do some different inventive things with the cinema.
Yep.
Because essentially what's happening is we're losing the 14 to 24-year-old demographic.
Okay.
So what they're trying to do with things like bullet screens is actually bring that demographic back to the cinema. And it has to be more than just the content, because clearly sequels aren't working anymore. That used to be the go-to place, just make a sequel or reboot an old TV series or something like that. But that's not working anymore. The audience aren't coming. So they're trying these different things.
So Tessa, what's that age group doing if they're not going to the cinemas? What are we trying to inch towards?
So, we all know they are texting, they are tweeting, they are streaming. There's so many possibilities for them to be interacting with screens in different ways and forums.
And that's your digital native generation don't just expect to have a single screen experience. They want all sorts of things happening simultaneously.
That's right. If you look at actually how they're watching movies at home, they're doing it with multiple screens. They're doing it with their phones. And what they're wanting to is to go to the cinema and have that same multiple screen experience.
Can't we just make them stop?
Well, we can. And that's a good argument, because maybe the cinema is just not a place for multiple screens.
I'm sure many filmmakers would potentially make that argument.
Although the cinema has been a place for multiple screens from, very early days. So there was experiments in the 20s with Abel Gance and three-screen projection. There's three-screen projections just coming back with the Barco experience. Forgotten the name.
That thing.
The Star Trek cinema that's going to be kind of a wrapping around but on three-screen
projection.
And
yet those things have always been sort of occasional novelties. They're sort of like quadraphonic sound recording. They're things which have a moment, but the great momentum is for a screen, the absorption in that cinematic moment.
But what I would say to your suspicion about the whole thing is that...
Treat me as an old but slightly crotchety
uncle.
It's
like mums and bubs. You wouldn't necessarily go to a mums and bubs session or a sing-along musical, like Grease playing at the Astor in Melbourne or something like that. You wouldn't necessarily go if you didn't want to go, right? What bullet screens and texting at the cinema is just suggesting is why don't they actually have sessions devoted for that? So if you want to do that and you want to interact with the cinema in that way, then you can. But for everybody else, they can sit in the darkened room and watch film in very sort of traditional, old-fashioned
way. See, the last big innovation in cinema that I can recall is when they stopped having the band of the Grenadier Guards playing God Save the Queen before the film, at which point you could all sit down and watch, you see. This is an interesting thing, though, Tessa, because that sort of, running your tweets, running your texts, that's very much the low end of audience interaction. That's not actually changing the narrative flow. That's not actually changing what you're watching. It's just commenting upon it.
Sure, but then how much that becomes a creative impetus for change is we're yet to see. Engaging with technology is kind of what cinema's always been about, and that can be incredibly exciting.
So, bullet screens, that's one thing we're looking at here in the future of cinema is, the capacity to have texts and tweets. Steve Gaunson and Tessa Dwyer in the drawing room talking about these possibilities. Steve, what are some other things? Presumably we will be moving to some sort of artificial reality in the cinema at some point.
Yes, and maybe that's a good thing. that we are. That, you know, I mean, it just sort of goes back to let's actually use the cinema for many different forms of entertainment rather than just sort of the one traditional form. Thinking about the phone. So if people are using their phones and they want to use their phones and we can't stop them using their phones, why don't we think about creative ways of doing that? So say the bullet screens is where you have an app on your phone and you're basically typing comments about the movie as the movie's playing, and those comments appear on the screen.
Which could be hilarious.
Yes. And it's
the right thing.
And they try to make them hilarious a lot of the time, snarky or, you know, engaging and interacting in lots of creative ways.
And it's a very unique way of watching the film, right? So you could go to two bullet screens of the same film, and it would be the comments would be completely different and the experience would be completely different. So what they're actually saying is people who are using their phones don't sort of go log onto Facebook and be distracted by the film. Actually use your phone to engage.
Deepen your engagement
with
the film.
That's right, with the content.
And with your fellow cinema goers.
It sounds a crazy rationalisation for something which is inherently distracting to me, but I'll let that pass.
So, Tessa, there's a lot more going on than, as we were saying, just that's the texts and so forth. Eye tracking. Tell me about that.
Well, eye tracking is something, it's simply a tool to analyse what people attend to when they are watching screens and how they're processing what's happening on the screen. So this is an exciting sort of technological innovation that we can now be tracking people's eye movements, basically.
So when I see that big thing and that combination of stuff happening, this is where my eye falls and where it travels subsequently.
Exactly, and we can see where the views are sort of all converging in certain parts of the screen at certain times. And this allows filmmakers are using this information to say, oh, okay, everyone is looking now at the face in movement. There are certain things that pull the eyes that are shown to always pull the eye. That means I can CGI the background here because people actually aren't looking at it. So, you know, that they are actually using this information to sort of change the way that films are being made.
Because there would have been a whole lot of assumptions based on, you know, the cinematographer's sort of craft and directorial craft. Are they being challenged? Is some of this being turned on its head?
In a lot of ways, the eye-tracking information is actually reinforcing the kind of intuitive approach to making films, to editing and to directing and cinematography.
And 4D is another thing we should look out for.
Absolutely. 4D is another one of these.
Is it a film you can feel?
It certainly is. You can feel it. Sometimes you can smell it. Sometimes it will be running through your hair in wind, you know, ocean spray, that sort of thing, fans. And 4D is, you know, it's another one of these differentiated cinema experiences.
Okay.
And it's, of course, the high end, the premium sort of
This is
end.
A few steps down the track from scratch and sniff.
That's right. Same, very, very similar concept.
But it comes down to audiences or filmgoers now wanting an experience more than just what the content is on the screen. They, you know, they want a physical experience. They want to do something at the cinema that they can't do anywhere else.
I mean, you say let's use the cinema more extensively, you know, let's play with that experience in that place. And yet there must be a reason why, for all those generations now that have simply watched films in a darkened room, that thing in itself has worked. Do we need to play with it? Is it in fact a form that needs this sort of embellishment?
I think it does. I mean, less and less people are going to the cinema every year, and they are doing different things now. So there's like they're live streaming concerts into the cinema.
Yep.
So say the Rolling Stones are playing in New York, you can go along to the cinema at, I don't know, 2 a.m. and you can watch the Rolling Stones live as if you're there. And they're putting theatre performances on the big screen, you know, streaming straight from London.
Lots of theatre, lots of opera.
That's right. Yep. So they are doing different things. But it's about speaking to that demographic, the 16 to 24-year-olds, and actually seeing what do they want and how can we actually engage more with that demographic. Because what's happening is they're going to the cinema, they're being told they're not allowed to use their phone, and they're just not going back to the cinema. And that's,
No, they're just sitting there and using their phone anyway.
Well, no. Okay, so I've got a stat for you. In 1974... Okay. The 14 to 24-year-old demographic would go to the cinema 18 times a year on average.
Yep.
Right? From last year, that demographic are going 8 times a year. So they are losing that demographic, and they need to do something about it because that demographic are really propping up the exhibition industry.
And it's in other forms, I'm guessing, Tessa, that drop-off is not as dramatic potentially in other sort of creative areas where they've been more adaptable, being quicker to change.
Well, yeah, and I think as Stephen's saying, this was such an important demographic for film for a long time. Kids coming out to see the film serials in the earlier days. So, you know, this was a really exciting venue for them to be at. It was social. And I guess this texting is bringing the social back into cinema.
So when can we expect to see this in Australian cinemas, do you think?
I don't think it will ever happen because people like yourself, John, every time it gets mentioned, they jump up and down. In AMC, which is a cinema chain in America, they suggested having text-friendly screenings, right? So you could buy a movie, you could choose if I go into the cinema, the texting session or the non-texting session.
Yep.
It was just a suggestion. It just went viral. Like people were just couldn't believe that this was being suggested. Now they weren't saying
like it was a bad thing. People were
AMC weren't suggesting that every cinema screening was going to have text friendly sessions, but that's how it was interpreted.
But someone will put their toe in the door here, won't they? There'll be an independent cinema somewhere that will do these screenings.
AMC apologized. For it, just the suggestion. They said, we are terribly sorry. Of course, we will never do this to our filmgoers.
But interestingly, you know, AMC are owned by the Chinese group Wanda.
Right.
And China's where this is huge. This is becoming really big. And this is something that's evolved from sort of Chinese and Japanese video sharing sites. So it's interesting that this is all happening with AMC and looking at how that does or doesn't translate to different cultural contexts.
It will only be a matter of time, you know. The naysayers will eventually drop off the perch or go to their own little screenings somewhere else.
You would hope so.
The young folk will take over.
Because you don't want the cinema just to be there for one particular demographic. You want the cinema to be there for everybody. And to do many different things with that experience.
Well, there you go. They're movies, but not necessarily as you've known them. Steve Gaunson and Tessa Dwyer have explained, well, some of the things that are happening in a cinema near you, maybe if you're young enough. Thanks both.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.